And now for our story. We left our story yesterday with Mary giving Phyllis a bit of very good advice. Evidently, Mary's advice impressed Phyllis. For when we left the scene with Max home for lunch, we saw Phyllis getting up from the table in tears at the thought of something happening to Danny in Chicago. And by the way, just what has that young man been doing since he went to Chicago to sell orders for Stratford Springs Water? Why doesn't he find time to write home? There are other matters to be considered today, however. The Kitty Clinic, and something that Benjamin Carter has in mind. We pick up our story today in Dr. Benson's office at the Kitty Clinic. And who should be taking up his time but that questionable friend, Benjamin Carter?
That's a good story, Curtis. By the way, you've been around and seen pretty much of life, I'd say. How'd you ever get interested in the hotel business, Curtis?
Well, I like the hotel business because it fascinates me. It brings me into contact with all kinds of people. Lets me see how they work. So I wanted it. If I see a thing I want, I've got to have it. If somebody else wants it too, I can't rest until I get it. But it's funny. As soon as I get it, I don't want it any longer. How do you explain that, then?
Satisfaction of desire, I'd say. You build up so much resistance in order to get it that after you do get it, the cause of the resistance has been removed. By taking the wall away from a battering ram that keeps on battering, you have all this steam worked up, nothing to put it against.
And that's why I get restless right away and want to start tearing down something else.
Exactly. Dangerous thing if you don't have control of such overpowering desires. You seem to have destructive tendencies. Don't you ever like to build things?
Do I? Say, who first got the idea of coming to this town and opening up these old health springs?
But was that the desire to build something permanent and good, a health resort where people could come to be benefited? Or was your desire mainly to make a lot of money, and you saw this as an opportunity?
Well, now that you speak of it, I guess the last. The making of the money. That was really my idea. You see, I never think things out like this. I mean, why I do things. I know I want things, and I know I want to do them. So I just go ahead and do them, that's all.
You're not much different from most people in that respect, Carter.
But I can't stop there. I want to do them, and I want to be the only one who does it.
That's what we call a Napoleon complex.
Napoleon complex. Yeah, I get you. The little corporal. The guy who runs the world.
Well, you're not slow with it, Carter. I can certainly say that for you.
No, I'll say that for myself. You know, my mind works like lightning. I put things together fast. I watch people. And I've noticed I put things together much faster than they do. That gives me the advantage. And do I use it?
Yeah, you've made use of that advantage of sharpness many a time.
Have I? Say, the time Jaime Grubb got rubbed out, and that rat had it coming. It was in the city 4 years ago. And... Say, why am I telling you all this?
I don't know, Carter. Why are you?
Well, forget about Jaime. You know, Benson, when I was a kid at home, I used to like to invent things. Make all sorts of things. I used to like to see what made things go.
Did you ever build anything? I mean, finish it?
No. But I'd build things. I'd try to make gunpowder once. I read about it in a book. I nearly blew my brains out. And I learned how to pick open the lock on the barn door early. Yeah, I was clever at those things. And I always wanted to be where people didn't want me to be.
Kind of a perverse attitude of mind, I'd say.
What was that? Never mind. I used to watch people. You know, I like to see what makes them tick. Like when I took my grandpa's watch apart when I was a kid, and he never got it all back together again. Was he mad? I wanted to see their feelings, to be able to put my finger on the button and watch them squirm.
Kind of a sadistic tendency, huh?
Sadistic? No, I wasn't sad about things. Well, sometimes I was, and sometimes I wasn't. Once I found some little mice, and I put them on a hot pan to see them squirm.
I guess maybe I couldn't do that.
You cut up people instead, Benson.
But my desire is different. I want to put the tick right in people. And I think only of that if I work over the operating table. Whereas you, I'd say, are obsessed with the attraction of torture. Am I not right?
Well, I wouldn't say right now. But you know, Benson, I've thought about it once in a while. And I do get awfully low. I feel like the whole world's against me. I want to go about doing things to make people squirm because I feel better.
Misery always likes company.
Yeah, you said it. But then I get all hepped up. I feel like I was sitting on top of the world. Hooray, the world's mine, I say. Maybe I do something pretty clever. And I make the guy crawl to me. Then I'm on top. Napoleon complex, you call it.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not a psychologist, understand. But you do show signs of being what they call manic depressive.
Hey, what are you trying to pin on me? Manic D what?
Never mind, I was just kidding. You've gotten clear off our subject in this discussion. But I would be careful about that desire to make people squirm if I were you, Carter. Someday it may lead you into disastrous consequences for you and for the person whom you turned against.
Yeah? Well, I can't change my nature. But I'm not as bad as I seem. Well, I don't know why I talk about all these things to you, Benson. Especially when we've been on opposite sides of the fence until lately.
Am I on your side of the fence now, Carter?
Well, I hope so. Yes, I believe you are. I think you understand me. But let's go back to the subject that brought me over here today, huh?
Yes, let's.
Yeah.
I've got to get back to work. Now, Carter, it's an awfully nice of you to offer all this help to the clinic. I haven't fully recovered from it yet. As you know, this clinic means everything in the world to me. I'm still undecided what your motives are for all this. Munificence?
Well, it's not entirely clear to me yet. All I know is it seems like good business. Look here, Benson. I don't want the clinic for myself. I don't need it. But I've decided to like this town. And for some reason that I can't accept, the town doesn't like me. I want to help the public enterprises here, Benson. That's why I'm willing to loan you money and buy all of this new equipment.
Oh, that sounds good to hear, Carter. I only hope we continue to find it that way.
The trouble with you people here is you've been so used to taking orders from old man Sanders, the guy that ran off with that pile of money and broke the town. You can't take orders from anyone else.
What we don't want to do is to take orders from anybody, Carter.
Well, I'm deaf on this Sanders crowd. Now, just one thing more I want to say, and then I'll go. I'm willing to go to no end to help you, Dr. Benson. But there's a condition.
Oh. I thought you'd really surprise me, Carter, and leave without asking me a condition.
Yeah, I know, Benson. Well, it's just this. Don't give me a decision now, and it doesn't affect the help I've given the Kitty Clinic if you should refuse the condition.
Very well. Let's hear the worst.
Well, it's simply this. You know, I'm jealous of Max Kelly. I hate him. He's a bitter enemy of mine. Well, at least in my mind. And will always be opposed in this town until one is beaten. I want Max Kelly out of this Kitty Clinic. That's all. I ask for nothing more, not even to run it for myself. If you'll sever all connections with Max Kelly, I'll ask no more.
Carter? That's something I can't do.
Now, don't give me your answer today. Just let it ride, that's all. Well, I've got to go.
I'm so sorry, Dr. Benson. I thought you were
all right.
So sorry, Mrs. Sanders. I was just leaving. Good day, Dr. Benson. Call on me any time I can be of service. Good day, Mrs. Sanders. How do you find my hotel basement for a bottling work?
Why, it's very agreeable, Mr. Carter. Very agreeable indeed. We appreciate your generous offer.
Thank you. My only desire is to serve your town. All right. Good day.
Good day.
Well, and how is my busy president mother today?
Very rough, John. What's Carter doing over here again today?
You don't trust Carter very far, do you, Mary?
I should say not. Maybe it's instinctive, but I don't. And I do want to be fair to the man.
I wonder if we've been entirely fair to him here in Sanders.
You talk as if you inquired to become friends.
Now, Mary, haven't you yourself changed in your attitude toward Carter since he let you have the basement of his hotel for the bottling work?
Yes, I have been more friendly. But, John, why is he so anxious to be friends with you?
Oh, I don't know. Well, the fact is, Mary, he's made a loan to me of
$15,000. $15,000? Oh, John, you don't mean...
Mary, we've got to be practical in business life. We can pay him back just as soon as enough orders come in from the spring water so that Max can advance the money. But in the meantime, we can't close down the clinic.
Well, Carter will have a hold on the clinic.
No, Mary, this is a personal loan to me. It has nothing to do with the clinic.
Well, that's even worse.
Don't worry, Mary. I wasn't born yesterday. I can take care of myself. I've dealt with men like Carter before.
Oh, John, I only want you to be free and continue the good work that you're doing here at the clinic.
I shall, Mary. Nothing can stop me from that.
I believe you.
You're a dear, Mary. I could kiss you for that.
No,
Oh, Mash, the lucky stiff. That hoodlum, was he ever lucky to get you?
Oh, dear. Here I stand listening to compliments from you, and I have 1,001 things to do today. The twins, the house. I've got to go right over to the bottling works. Daddy's having some trouble over there with the machinery. I had to come over and see Teddy Grubb. Look what I brought him. Some cakes and these games of sticks. Think you like it?
Of course you will, Mary. Oh, you're wonderful. In spite of all the things you have to do, running a home, taking care of a family, and being president of a business concern, you still have time for that little child. Oh, Mary, you fascinate me.
Not another compliment, Dr. Benson.
All right, come then. We'll go and see Tiny Teddy Grubb. He's been asking for you all afternoon.
Well, did we get an insight into the character of Benjamin Carter today? This undoubtedly explains Carter's bitter dislike of Max Tilley. Max is a person whom everybody goes to for advice and help. And Carter is the kind of a man who likes to see things squirm. I wonder if that's what he has in mind for our neighbors of the town of Sanders. Mary always has time for the little things of life, and that love toward others, less fortunate than she, and that is the reason we love her so much. Don't miss a single episode in the life of Mary Southern, brought to you by the makers of Heinz Honey and Almond Creams.